Tuesday the 29th of December, Yud Veis Teves, Rabbi David Rowe, Revenge is Sweet.
We're mostly all of us familiar with the first Rashi in the Torah. Rashi there asks the question, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not start the Torah from HaKadosh Lachem, which is the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael as a whole? Why did he start with Bereishis? And Rashi gives his famous answer about Eretz Yisrael belonging to us and no one should have any criticisms. I've come across before another partial answer that we learned from the Sefer Bereishis, how the Ovos reacted to different situations and how they responded to temptations and distractions, and we can learn from them not just the mitzvahs that we come across later in the Torah, such as mitzvahs of chesed, but we can see how Avraham Avinu put chesed in practice, a sort of Maaser Rav, like we mentioned in today's Daf Yomi in a slightly different context. And we see how Yitzchok reacted to difficulties, and Yaakov Avinu. And therefore we need the Sefer Bereishis, not only because there are two or three mitzvahs in it, and as Rashi says, but also we need the Sefer to have practical ways of keeping the mitzvahs that we were told about later in the Torah. One example is surely the mitzvah of Lo Sikayim, that we're not allowed to take revenge, which of course is mentioned in the Torah only in the Sedra Kedoshim. But we can surely get inspiration from Yosef HaTzadik, who was really in a situation that might have led a lesser person to be tempted to consider taking revenge, having been sold by his brothers into Mitzrayim as a servant and not knowing how it would end. And indeed, when Yaakov Avinu died, his brothers sent him a message, which Rashi says wasn't true, that they sent, Kosomu Yosef, in the name of Yaakov Avinu, Oz no son of Pesha Achecha v'chatosom, please forgive the sins of your brothers for what they planned to do. Yosef cried when they said that he had no havamina, he had no intention of taking revenge. And he said to them, Al tiru, do not be afraid, ki asachas elakim oni, do you think I am instead of Hashem? V'atem chashavtem olai ro'o, you may have meant me harm, elakim chashov ala toiva, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu meant it for the good. So not only do we come across the mitzvah of Lo Sikayim later in the Torah, but we see a practical example of how Yosef kept it. I gave the title Revenge is Sweet, and I don't know what the origin of that phrase is in English literature. However, I did come across this phrase many years ago, and it's always stuck in my mind, in the Sefer Mesillas Yeshurim, in Perek Yud Aleph, about Nikius. Now, the Sefer Mesillas Yeshurim sets very high standards, and I'm not saying we can always live by all of them, but in the Perek of Nikius, having assumed that we've accumulated the minors of Zahirus and Zerizus, which is no easy matter, Nikius means to cleanse ourselves even more so. And he talks about Sinor and Nakimo, because hatred and revenge go together. Kosha ma'oid l'shiyimolik mimeno, leif husal asher livnei ha'odom. Very difficult for an ordinary person with his ways to avoid taking revenge. Ka'odom margish ma'oid be'elbonoisev. A person feels very strongly when he's been offended. U'mitztaya tzaa godol, and he feels a great pain. V'hanakomoloi masuka mitvash. And for taking revenge for such a thing is sweeter than honey. This is the only way a person can really get calmed down, an ordinary person. Therefore, if somebody is able to overcome this thing, if he can overcome his temptation and not hate the one who caused him hatred, and nor will he take revenge, nor even to bear a grudge, if a person can achieve this madrega of forgetting the crime, Mitzvot Bar Mitzvah. This is a great Madrega and was worthy to be included in this chapter. V'hu kal rak l'malachei ha-shores. And such a thing would only be easy for Malachim, literally. And why? She'ein b'neihem ha-midas halolu. They don't have midas. They don't have bad midas to feel offended. So any human being, we have midas, we can feel offense. It would be natural for us to take revenge. I feel that the Mesillas Yeshorim in this chapter, in this point, has shown what we might say is an enlightened view of acknowledging and appreciating our weaknesses and temptation. He doesn't just merely tell us, obey this mitzvah, you have to not take revenge. He acknowledges that it is difficult, and only Malachim would find it easy. There is a strong feeling that we have. Unfortunately, he doesn't add any specific eitzes as to how to overcome this. Ultimately, he just says that we mustn't take revenge, and so any person who manages not to take revenge is very strong. I've come across in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Mem Aleph, this is the mitzvah of taking revenge. And he says, Mishoshe HaMitzvah, Sheyeda Indeed, the mitzvah not to take revenge. The mitzvah about taking revenge. A person should know, understand, whatever happens to us, good or bad, in particular bad, we should realize that the ultimate cause, the only cause, the direct cause is from Hashem. Whatever somebody does to us is not really what they have done, it's all from Hashem. And therefore, if somebody causes us pain or harm, we should realize not that that person caused it, but Hashem was talking to us, was dealing with us. And he says, "Ki avoynoisav gormu." It must be that it was this our own sins that caused somebody to be able to harm us. Hashem is borah gozal of bakar. V'lo yoshiv machshavos avinkum. And therefore, he shouldn't think for a moment to try to take revenge against the perpetrator who offended him now, that's not really the cause of the harm. It must be a sin that he had done that caused it. So, if somebody throws a stone at us, we should not be angry at the stone, as it were, we should be angry at the person who threw the stone. Well, Hashem, as it were, is throwing the stone, and the instrument is the person that he's using to cause us harm. And therefore, to take out our revenge on the person who immediately offended us would be missing the point and ignoring the emes, and we've said we should contemplate, why does Hashem do this to us? The Sefer HaChinuch only mentions one option of what we should conclude, namely it was our sins that did it. I don't think he means this as the only possibility. Things can happen to us not only as a result of sins, it could be a test, it could be a Yisurim Shalava, but at least we should realize that it is from Hashem and not from the person that did it. And therefore we shouldn't take revenge against that person. This will help us in order not to feel the need to take revenge. It doesn't mean that even with this inspiration it's necessarily easy, especially in the heat of an incident, but it is true, and it's a way that can help us. The Sefer HaChinuch must have then thought, the author, how can I give an illustration from Tanakh? He must have scoured the entire Tanakh to find a practical example of someone who didn't take revenge, and who used this system. And he continues and he quotes David HaMelech. He said, leave that person to curse me, it doesn't matter, it must be from Hashem. This is a reference to the incident when David HaMelech, son of Shalom, was making a revolt and taking over from the Malchus. And David HaMelech was prepared to leave Yerushalayim rather than fighting against Yerushalayim, and he allowed him to usurp his Malchus without a fight. And as he was leaving with his people, it says there that Shimi ben Gero, Mishom Ish Yotze Mishpachas Beis Shaul, a descendant from the family of Shaul, Shmoi Shimi ben Gero, Yotze Yotze Umakalo. He went and he was cursing David HaMelech loudly and clearly in front of David and all of his followers. And one of David's followers, Vayomer Avishai ben Tzruya LaMelech, Loma Yekalel HaKelev HaMeis Hazeh, why should this dead dog be allowed to curse as Adoni HaMelech, Ebro Novo Asiris Roisho, shall I take his life away, as he surely deserves? To curse anyone is wrong, and to curse the king is Moed B'Malchus, he is Chayav Misa. So So shall I do so here and now? Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said, Ma livo lochem b'nei tzuria ki yekalel. What should we do that he is cursing? That's not the response. V'chi Hashem omar lo yekalel es David. It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to curse me at this moment. U'mi yomer madu asis okein. And I don't know why Hashem will have done this. Incidentally, he doesn't say exactly like the Sefer HaChinuch, it must be because of my sins. He just says, we don't know what the reason is. Or maybe that's what he said to other people. Maybe in his heart he was thinking. And furthermore, he said, "Va'afki ato ben hayemini hanichuloi." Therefore, you should leave this person from Binyamin. V'yekalel ki omar loy Hashem. He is sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do so. And this is therefore the Sefer HaChinuch says is an inspiration for us. We see that David HaMelech was in a very difficult situation, and he had an opportunity to punish Shimi ben Gera. Even Al Pidin, he had the right to punish him because he was married by Malchus. But he said to himself, such a situation is so unusual. My son Shalom is taking over, which is such an unexpected situation. And now this person is cursing me so odd. It's clearly a message from Hashem. I don't want to take it out shoot the messenger. I would rather think by myself, and that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incidentally, Shimi was technically Chayav Misa for being married by Malchus. We see this in the Haftarah this week, where David ensures that Shimi receives his punishment through Shlomo HaMelech. And he says, "V'hinei imcha," on his last instructions to Shlomo, "V'hinei imcha Shimi ben Gera ben Ayaminu v'achurim, v'hu kilalani klolonim retzis, he cursed me b'yom lechti machanoim, v'hu yorad li krosi hayardin, v'hu eshov alo b'ashem leim." I made a shvur at the time, im amischo b'chorev, that whether I would kill Shimi ben Gera, although he perhaps deserved it, but I made a shvur not to get involved. V'ata altana kehu, but he says to Shlomo, make sure he does not come away innocent, ki ishochamata v'yodata eis asher ta'asol v'rata se'vosa v'dom shoyel. You should make sure that he should come to an early death, which is what he deserves. And so David HaMelech, it seems, didn't want to take revenge himself. He didn't even want to punish him with the rules of the Torah of Moirad B'Malchus, because it might have had a taste of personal negiah at that time. But objectively, he remembered this, which was many years later, and he said that Shimi ben Gera is deserving of an oynish, but let somebody do it who is truly more objective. Indeed, his son Shlomo HaMelech, who would have the opportunity, and so it happened later. I always wondered when I came across this Sefer HaChinuch, why does he quote as a moshel of an inspiration for us David HaMelech, however good it is? Why did he not quote our Yosef HaTzadik? We find that Yosef HaTzadik was also needed in a situation of taking revenge, as we mentioned. And his response to the brothers in last week's Sedra in particular is even more explicit. And he says there, when he reveals himself to the brothers and says who he is, yes, you sold me to Mitzrayim, but you shouldn't feel bad about it. He says clearly, "Vayishalcheini elokim lifneichem." HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me in front of you. Losum lochem she'eres boreth, achir zirim fredzik. Then he says in Pasuk Ches even stronger, "Va'ato loy atem shalachtem oisi." You did not send me, heino, ki ho elokim. That's mamash the principle of the Sefer HaChinuch, as David HaMelech did. But surely we've got an example from the Chumash, where Yosef HaTzadik attributes whatever the brothers did to him, not that you sent me, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me. So why does he not quote this? I was thinking, maybe it was easier for Yosef to see the hand of Hashem. It was a slightly easier test for him at this point. Maybe not when he was first sold. We don't know quite how he felt. We're not told anything that he said in the first 13 years when he was in the house of Potiphar and then in prison. But by now he had been out for another 9 years, and he had been the ruler of Mitzrayim. He could see the positive Yad Hashem in practice, as he himself says there in Pasuk Hey. Al-Yicha ba'ineichem ki mechartem oisei. Don't be upset that you sent me, ki lemichyo shalachani elokim. Hashem sent me in order to provide the michyo, and he explained to them, because 2 years of the famine were up, there were 5 years to go, and he was in a position to help the family of Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore he had already seen the Yad Hashem working itself out in practice. And he says to her again in this week's Sedra. Whereas with David HaMelech, he was really still in the depths of a disaster. There was no consolation in sight, and there was nothing even in the offing. Yet he was able to react calmly and rationally. And therefore this, in a way, is a higher level of not taking revenge that we can see with David HaMelech. With Yosef HaTzadik, by the time the brothers appeared, he had the opportunity to be more forgiving. He could see how things had worked out well, and therefore he had no need to take the revenge. Whereas with the brother, with David HaMelech, at that point he had nothing positive that was going to that he could see at that stage. And even so, he had the opportunity to kill Shimi ben Gera, but even so, he decided not to. In fact, I haven't got it. Only David HaMelech says in his last words that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will somehow turn this out for the good. He said, Shimi is cursing me, and it's from Hashem. Maybe it will turn out for the good this day. Which was quite prophetic, because the whole revolt of Avshalom was only lasted about one day. And then the fighting started. Not that David wanted to fight, but Avshalom and his people started to fight against David, and David HaMelech was victorious. In a way, it's a pity that this drosha comes out on Tuesday, because on a Wednesday we say the Shir Shel Yoim, which is a hint at this subject a little bit. It starts there, the Shir Shel Yoim, Tzadi Dalad, Keil Nekomois Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of Nekomois, which is the plural of Nekoma. He is the one who takes revenge, and we sort of praise Hashem that he is the one who takes revenge. Is it not odd that we praise Hashem with this forbidden attribute? In Soita and Daf Yudalad, it quotes a pasuk in Re'eh and explains it. It says then we should cling to Hashem, we should follow His ways. What does it mean? Can we follow that Shechina mamash? Hashem is an Eish, we cannot follow close. As we know, the pasuk is telling us to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Mahu malbish arumim, just like he looks after people and dresses them. We should do the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bika choylim, he visits the sick as he did with Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim, as it says, v'yovorech elekim esitzo, av'ato nachem aveilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu koiva meisim, tetsi v'yit boisem, av'ato koiva. All examples of chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves as it were in the mitzvahs ben odom l'chaveiroi, that he acts in a way that is kind towards people, and we are supposed to follow his ways and be inspired by it. Similarly, in the Sifri, it makes a more general comment, as we perhaps more familiar than that expression, and to paraphrase it a little bit, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachum V'Chanun Af Ato Have Rachum V'Chanun. That he shows Rachamim and Chanina in all situations, therefore we should. So we are clearly told to follow the ways of Hashem. He sets us this example, although he's not a human being, but we can learn from his ways. Unsurprisingly, we never find the phrase Mahu Noikem Af Ato Noikem. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge, as it says Keil Nekomos Hashem, we also should take revenge. Of course, we're not allowed to take revenge. Yet, as we ask, why of all people did David HaMelech praise Hashem for this quality of taking revenge? The Sefer HaChinuch holds David HaMelech up as the best example of somebody who didn't take revenge. So why does he of all people write in the Tehillim that Keil Nekomos Hashem? So in order to answer this, maybe we can define the word and to understand the meaning of the word nakoma loisikon. What is the root of this word? I have at home this book, Etymological Dictionary of Biblical Hebrew, based on the commentaries of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, written by Rav Matisyahu Clark. And he goes through all the words of the Torah and their roots and their deeper meaning. So what does he say is, quoting Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, is the root of the word noikem, of taking revenge. It is from the root of kum, to rise, or kom, to stand erect, and he uses the translation of re-establishing justice. Like, lokum is to stand or set something up, and nakoma is like re-establishing. If something has gone wrong, then it has to be put right. When Hashem sees somebody who has done something wrong and corrects it with a consequence or with a punishment, when Hashem corrects it, that is re-establishing the justice. It is pure and, almost use the phrase, the Shem Shemayim. There is no other intention of Hashem but to restore the balance of justice in the world. And whenever he does deal with somebody, the punishment always fits the crime. Indeed, sometimes when someone offends us or causes us harm, let's say breaks a window or damages our car, whatever we have, we are allowed to take a sort of revenge in that sense by making the person pay for the damage that he's caused. And if he's not willing to pay, we could take him to the Beis Din, which is a sort of revenge but is permitted. It is revenge in the positive sense, like restoring the justice, and we're allowed to take someone to bed. You're not obliged to forgive somebody every time they cause us financial harm, because I mustn't take revenge on him. I must say that Hashem caused it, and it's my sins that did it, and yes, my window is broken, my car is a write-off, but I have no bad feelings towards the person. You shouldn't have bad feelings towards the person. Maybe true, but we still have the right to claim any financial recompense from it. And indeed we saw that David HaMelech did see to it that Shimei would receive his due eventually, and he didn't say, I forgive him. He just had no bad feeling and he didn't want to get involved himself. And that is a quality of Hashem that we may emulate. So I wouldn't say Mahu Noike Mafato Noike, but just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores justice, so too when justice is available, we are able to restore it. It's possibly unfortunate and misleading that we use the word revenge always for Nakoma. So Kael Nakoma is Hashem may be not best translated that Hashem is the God of revenge, but rather in the sense of this, as he says in this book, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of correctness and for justice, that he meets out so fairly. And we say in the Torah, Tomim Po'olot, that Hashem, when he does punish someone, it also affects family members and others as well. And why should they be included in the punishment? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best. When a Beis Din punishes somebody, that also affects the family members, and the Beis Din can't take that into account. They of their own initiative don't know why the family of a criminal has to suffer for what they have to do with the criminal. But when Hashem does something, he's a pure Kael Nakomos Hashem. The justice is perfect, and sometimes we can call upon the Beis Din and follow that way. If, however, an individual wants to take revenge, a person could justify it to himself that it's also fair and balanced and re-establishing justice. And in theory, it could be. Let's say somebody doesn't lend you money. So that's cause an imbalance. So if I don't lend him money back, that surely is exactly the punishment fitting the crime. It's tit for tat, but it's exactly fair. He didn't do something good, so he will receive something not good back. We could even justify and say, by my not lending him money back, I'm teaching him what it's like not to receive money when you ask for it, and then he'll really learn better for the next time. So we could easily justify taking revenge as being fair and balanced. But for at least three reasons, however, it is not really an option. Firstly, a person might not be quite so purely motivated as he imagines. Of course, he says, I'm doing it purely to correct the other person. I'm not thinking of the hurt that I received. I've pushed that out of my mind. I'm only thinking the Shem Shemayim. But we're not always quite as good as we think we are. Secondly, he doesn't even know the whole story of the perpetrator, why he didn't lend you money. He could have had justified reasons, which he doesn't even want to tell you. You see a rich person, you ask him for a loan or anything like that, and he doesn't want to help you. We don't know his motivations and the background. It might not be a suitable moment. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And thirdly, if we respond in the same way that he did to us, we are causing a cycle of unpleasantness, and it continues. Indeed, the Sefer HaChinuch concludes this point. He says, "V'oid nimtzav a mitzvah zuta elis rabo." This mitzvah has got a great advantage. Lahashbis riv, it causes quarrels to stop. Ulahavi hamastemos, and to avoid hatred milev bnei odom. Uvi shalom bein anoshim yasa, and it causes, on the contrary, if we keep well the mitzvah of not taking revenge, then it causes shalom between people. Yasa Hashem shalom lahem. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu always cause peace to come between us. In conclusion, let us summarize what we have learned. Revenge indeed is sweet, as it says in the Masilas Yeshorim. But of course, like many other sweet things, it is forbidden. The Sefer HaChinuch reminds us to realize that any discomfort that we receive is ultimately from Hashem, is completely from Hashem. And we should rather think about His reasons for causing us the harm than taking it out on the person who at the moment is in front of us. We can be inspired to this reaction, this positive way to react with difficulties, from Yosef's attitude towards his brothers, that he didn't take revenge, he didn't think of taking revenge. And even more so, from David HaMelech towards Shimi ben Gera, even though he was in the midst of an awful situation. We shouldn't imagine that taking any revenge into our hands would imitate the pure judgments of Hashem. He is a Kael Nekomos, he is the God of Nekomos, but the only way we could even approach his ways in this area is by handing over a case to the Beis Din, if we have a case, and not to try in any way righteously to take the law into our own hands. We should at all costs avoid a downward spiral of unpleasantness and worse, but rather try to break the cycle. I have come across a suggestion of what might be called a permitted revenge in a book which is in English taken from Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch from the Wisdom of Mishle. And they set in different chapters going through different topics, and there's chapter 16 is conduct towards enemies. And he says there at the end, so it's not, I think it's his words translated into English. Only one kind of revenge is permissible. To do a kindness to your enemy. So if he has done something harm to us, the revenge that we should do is to do a kindness to him. If we are good to the enemy without stressing his animosity against you, in other words, see, I am not like you, that's the loisita. When we do something back to him and we actually lend to him, although he didn't lend to us, and we shouldn't remind him that he didn't lend to us, of course, but if we just do a kindness back, as in fact the Torah instructs us to do, or if you quietly do him a favor, then he will look back with burning shame upon his behavior to you, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu will reward you. And he carries on in this theme in his own inimitable style of how if we do this, then if our conduct is agreeable to Hashem, then our Kodesh Baruch Hu will make our moral value appreciated by others and will change their animosity into esteem. So that's the best way, is when Hashem says we should lend back, we should do back positively even if somebody didn't do to us, then that will not only be keeping the mitzvah and avoiding the revenge, it will actually lead to a positive result in the person who started. And I'd just like to conclude with a famous, quite familiar short story. The Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once on a train, and there was a young man there, and there was, throughout the journey, there was incidents of opening the window and closing the window, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was trying to be very modest, and he fitted in with what the other person wanted, whether he wanted the window open or not. And at some point the young man got annoyed and was quite rude and offensive and insulting towards Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who of course he didn't recognize at the time. But he felt, as some young people do, justified in speaking in this manner. And the journey ended and they went their separate ways. And a short time later it turned out that this young man had come in order to be tested for, I think, for Samicha in Shechita, and he didn't do very well in his test. And he came before and he realized that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the person that he met and who had offended him, and he begged his forgiveness. And when Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, of course he forgave him, he realized that he had not succeeded in his test to become qualified as a Rav or a Shoichet. So how was his response to him? Let's learn together. Let us have a chavrusa. Obviously it was a shir. Let's work through this topic together, and then you'll do better the next time round in your test. And so he did, and so the person was successful. So not only, of course, we would realize he didn't have a havamina of taking revenge against him or being annoyed with him, but he positively showed him kindness and affection and held him, and that was breaking the cycle of unpleasantness and even to turn the initial harmfulness around, and he managed to create a good feeling between people. May we all be zoicha to learn from the inspiration of us in the Torah and from the story that we've heard and the lessons that have come up.